In the days to come, those who are truly seeking me, allowing my Spirit to guide them into truth, your eyes are going to be opened more and more to see just how much of my body is not walking in truth. Your eyes are going to be opened more and more to see the gross error in which many are walking. Your eyes are going to be opened to see more and more just how much wrong doctrine has taken root within my church. For some of you, you're going to have a feeling of almost helplessness, exasperation. There'll be a desire on the inside of you to want to fix it all. And yet a frustration of not knowing how. But I would say unto you that your responsibility is not to fix it. Your responsibility is to stay on the path of truth and speak as I direct you. For you see, there are many, many who are never going to get off the wrong doctrine. They're never going to leave those things which are holding them back. And they're going to walk into eternity clinging to these wrong doctrines. There are some who are going to turn. But in relation to the total number of those in my church, those who are turning, those who will turn, that number is few. More and more challenges are coming your way concerning truth. At times, you'll feel an anger, a fleshly anger. But I would say don't give in to it. Stay on the path of truth. Become rooted and grounded in the fullness of truth. Even if the attacks are very close to you from people that you know and love, do not let it hinder you. Do not be dragged into vain arguments which will accomplish nothing. Stay on the path of truth. Walk in my truth. Become established in my truth. For more and more revelation of truth is going to be revealed. Your responsibility is to serve me, not change others. As you serve me, I will be your reward. I will be your strength, and I will be there to help you. You will be rejected by many people. Don't worry about that. Just stay on the path of truth. And when you do, you will see true miracles, true demonstrations of my mercy, my grace, my healing, my deliverance. You will see the truth, the true move of my Spirit in these last days. So walk triumphant in this life as more than a conqueror, carrying the shield of faith, my word and my truth, says the Lord. Tonight, we want to do some things. What I have found is that many times it's good to, how can I say this, put people in a position to have to give thought to themselves, to their own lives. It's easy to sit during a service and pay attention without paying attention, listen without hearing. And you know, it's happened to me in the past to where when the service is over, someone comes to me and they're asking, you know, about something that was preached, and what they're saying is essentially exactly the opposite of what I said. And it just absolutely, I mean, it really confounds me as to how that can happen. When I'm here and I look out and I see people's faces and they're looking at me, so the assumption is at least one ear is listening, and then when the service is over, I have a question about something, and the question is basically the complete opposite of what I said. And I actually, I have been misquoted word for word. You said, humma, humma, sir, rama. And I'm thinking, what? I didn't say that. That's exactly the opposite, using my words. And, you know, praise God for the way that we are able to record things. But every now and then, it's good to kind of pause for a moment and actually put people in the position to where they need to pay more attention. And you'll understand here in just a few minutes. One of the things that we do and have done in the past relative to that, the services where we've taken some time, like 15 minutes, and encourage folks, pray in the Spirit and write down what the Lord gives you. And that is kind of like, I'll say it this way, it's like backing you into a corner. In other words, you're here, you're not going anywhere, so you might as well do it. And so you do it, and then what happens? You hear God. And you write things down. It's like, wow, this is really cool. God does speak after all. Praise the Lord. And so you have something to go with. And one of the reasons that we do that is to encourage people that you can hear God. And He will speak to you. And He will give you instructions. And then also, it's to encourage people that if you can do it here, you can do it at home. And He'll speak to you at home or where it is that you spend your time with God. But you can do that. One of the things that I have shared, you know, from time to time, I've mentioned this really from day one. And that is part of my responsibility is to help people discover and fulfill what God has called them to do. Now, one of the things that I guess it doesn't surprise me, but not surprise me, but it's one of those things makes me sit back and say, you know what I mean? You've had those kind of moments in life. And that is, with all the instructions that have been given about, you know, how to find your ministry and your calling, I mean, all these things that have been taught over the years, and the fact that we make the teachings available at a very reasonable price, I might add. I mean, no charge is a good price. One of the things that really makes me kind of sit back and say, is the number of people who don't seem to be figuring out what God's called them to do. And I'm not saying this as a criticism. I guess what it is, God's helping me to see a lot of what He sees. And that in the body of Christ, there really aren't a high percentage of Christians who really want to discover what God's called them to do the way He's described it in the Word. In other words, if I can find out by some sort of divine intervention, like, you know, an angel show up in the middle of the night and, you know, give me a mantle, something like that, then it'll be okay. But what I have figured out is that a lot of Christians, high percentage, they don't want to pay the price to find out what God has called them to do. Now, some people could hear that, and you'll get on a guilt trip because they are spending time with God. They're applying the principles that have been taught, and they haven't yet figured out what they're called to do. That's okay, because as long as you're applying the principles, the day's coming, you will find out what God's called you to do. So it's a growing process into that knowledge. So don't give up. Just, you know, hang in there. But then you have the others that it isn't that they don't love God, and it isn't that they're in sin. I mean, to my knowledge, they just don't seem to want to put forth the effort to find out what God's called them to do. And for myself, years ago, I can remember, I mean, I wanted to know, but I didn't understand then what I understand now. And I'm not faulting the ministers or my pastors under whom I sat. I'm just saying I didn't understand things then like I understand them now. And I wanted to know what God had called me to do. I wanted to know my ministry calling. And I can remember not long after Kathy and I were married, I think like first or second year after we were married, I enrolled in Kingsway Bible College. I just wanted to learn more. I was very excited about what God had done in me. I had recommitted my life to the Lord, and He had received me with open arms, filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, great things were happening, and I was attending services in a church where just people were getting healed. I mean, the kind of things that you read about in the Bible. You know, there were tongues and interpretation, new stuff to me. But you know, after a while, I became accustomed to it, and I understood what was going on. The style of worship, I mean, all of it was so cool. And I didn't take it for granted, but at the same time, I didn't appreciate it as much as I do now. So I've grown in my appreciation of all of those things. Well, I wanted to know what God wanted me to do. But I lay most all the fault of not knowing at my feet. I didn't understand about the things I understand now and so on and so forth. And I was trying to figure out what God wanted me to do, but I wasn't praying much about it. I didn't understand about praying in the Spirit that much, but even praying in the natural, I wasn't praying that much about it. But I was doing everything I could to soak up as much teaching as possible. Now, I look back over the years, and a lot of those that I was, you know, letting them speak into my life and sow into my life, maybe I shouldn't have done that. I understand the concept of, you know, keep the wheat and, you know, get rid of the tares as far as teaching is concerned. The problem is, if you don't know what's a tare and what's wheat, how are you going to do that? You see what I mean? And so I ate a lot of wheat and I ate a lot of tares. And I was... From that perspective, there was some spiritual malnourishment. Well, over time, God's corrected a lot of things. And I'll stand here before you tonight and admit that as much as I'd like to think there's nothing left to correct, there's probably much more in me that needs to be corrected than what I'd like to know. But that will come too, as long as I keep doing what I know to do. Well, for every person who's a part of this ministry, my perspective is this. God sent you here in part because He wants you to know what you're called to do. He knows that I'm here to help people discover that ministry. He wants you to know. He wants you to fulfill. He wants you to be equipped, all of these things, so that you can do what He's called you to do. One of the things years ago, not a great number of years ago, but Tim Stemple, many of you know who he is. He's Dave Roberson's assistant. Tim Stemple made a statement at the prayer center that really, I'd never thought of it. I wish I had. It's a classic. You hang around Tim, you're going to hear classic after classic come out of that man. He's awesome. But he made the statement about what they were doing there at the prayer center. We are training leaders, not followers. And I thought, that's it. I mean, now I'm not saying that I'm doing that in the same way that they're doing it out there, okay? I mean, I'm not trying to give the impression I'm walking at the same spiritual level of anointing and so forth as Dave Roberson or Tim Stemple or Gary Carpenter or, you know, those guys out there at the prayer center. But what I'm saying is that is a good way to summarize here. We're not training followers, we're training leaders. Because we have to be in a position, I'll say it this way, to lead the next generation. I mean, if we don't lead each other, we've got to be in a position to lead the next generation. Because we, think about this, we don't want them, okay, how about this? The next generation is not going to invent the automobile. That's 100 years ago. It's been done. The next generation is going to take the automobile from where it is to the next level. You see this? I mean, it's in our lifetime. Look what's happened to the automobile. Look what's happened. The next generation is not going to invent computers. The next generation is going to improve on what's been developed. I mean, who knows what 12-year-old is going to be in school tomorrow, you know, throwing a wadded up piece of paper at the girl in front of him, but he's going to become the next, you know, Bill Gates. You see what I'm getting at here? There are a lot of things that we have a responsibility to do. We get excited when we learn things, but we should have been led into these things by the previous generation. Now, I'm not trying to come down on our forebears. What I'm saying is every generation has not done what it's supposed to do, basically. Now, not to be depressing, we're not going to be able to either. We are only going to be able to impact a small segment of the next generation. However, we have the potential to impact more of the next generation than any generation in history. Because, now listen to this, once we have all the teachings and so forth established on the internet, they will be available. I mean, if the Lord tarries for 1,000 years, they'll be available for 1,000 years. They will be able to hear the voice of Gary Carpenter, Dave Roberson, you know, myself, any of you, whatever. They will be able to hear us, and they will be able to watch us. We have not the opportunity to hear the voice of Jesus in that aspect. You understand what I mean? Or Paul. And even if we could, we wouldn't understand them, now would we? But there are software programs now that interpret. So, you know, they can play my sermon, and this software program can interpret it into their language. And that's not a perfected art yet, but it's in the process of taking place. And so we have a responsibility to train up leaders, and the way that we have to do that is with regard to our ministry and our calling to do what God's called us to do. And I really believe that in some cases, this whole aspect, the whole concept of a ministry calling, is like people believe it. And I'm talking about like folks associated with this ministry or the prayer center out there in Tulsa or some of the other like faith churches, if you will. The people, it's like they hear the teaching and they acknowledge it, but it's like something isn't clicking. It's like, yeah, that's right, yeah, that's true, but it doesn't really penetrate to the place to where it's like they believe it, but they don't believe it. Yeah, I believe, yeah, I'm called to a ministry, but if you really knew, I mean, honestly, really believe that you were called to a ministry, truly called, then I think the approach people take would be a little bit different. If, I know, you know, everybody, well, you know, but look at me, you know, I can't speak in front of people and I can't do this. What you're doing then is you're exalting yourself above God and above His Word. God, listen, right at the moment, God isn't worried about you being able to speak in front of people. I mean, He's not worried about anything, but using that doesn't concern Him. He looks down and says, what, you're nervous to speak in front of people? Okay, I can fix that. I'm God. What else? Oh, you don't think you have the money to do what I've called you to do. Okay, well, I'm God. I can fix that. What else? Well, God, it's, you know, this, but I'm God. I am God. He said, yeah, but God, he says, well, hold on here. Listen. Read my lips. I can create a universe, fill it with planets and stars, make it so big that your science will never be able to detect or measure its boundaries. So I can help you. Nervousness, it's a small thing. I can help you. And I think that what happens is, it's almost like we've been so trained that your ministry, your calling, will just happen one day. And we've not been trained to pursue it So the pursuit isn't there. And even if there is a little bit of pursuit, well, I spent, you know, like 10 minutes yesterday. What more, Pastor? Even if there is a little bit of pursuit, because it doesn't just happen, then we kind of wonder. And, you know, you look, and I can remember, you know, I was like this too. Looked at other ministries, you know, these big time, the crusades, thousands of people, big churches, all these things. And I'm looking at them and thinking, well, yeah, but, you know, look what they're doing. I mean, and look here at me. I'm, you know, working, doing this kind of job here, or I'm doing this thing there. They were too. They were all at some point, some of them were working at gas stations. Some of them flipped burgers. Some of them were in military. Some of them had an office job. Some of them were in the banking industry. So, in other words, what I'm saying is, a lot of these people, they had careers and other things before they ever started operating in ministry. But once they made a decision to pursue what God had called them to do, God was able to work in them to bring it to pass. And that's the thing that, you know, I really want to encourage you in, is you're called. God has a ministry for you. Eliminate, but I can't preach. He may not want you to preach. That's not ministry. We also have, you know, helps and governments. He may not want you standing behind the pulpit. He may have this other for you. But you have a ministry. And you have a calling. So whatever it is, you can do it. And why does God choose some people to do one thing and other people to do something else? I mean, I don't know. I mean, for me, I was terrified. I mean, terrified, you know, lose your lunch, nervous to stand up and talk in front of people. As a kid, and you know, I couldn't stand the oral reports. I couldn't stand that. Let me write my book report, but don't make me stand up for oral book report. Oh. But I can remember the day, and this didn't come as a result of prayer. I mean, I don't know how it came about. Really, I don't. Time for an oral book report. Well, no, it's an oral presentation. It's English class and some sort of thing we had to do, presentation. And you had to stand up and do it in front of the class. And, you know, you don't want to be first. But if you're last, you just have to sit there and wait. And, you know, so I'm sitting there and I don't even remember if I knew when my turn was. I think I did. Something happened. And I came to this epiphany to where, like, all of a sudden, I realized when I stand up there in front of this class, I may be, you know, Bert the nerd, but everyone in that class is submitting to me, and I am in charge. And I don't care if not one of these girls would ever go out with me on a date. I'm in charge. Even the teacher takes a seat with the rest of them, and I'm in charge. Authority in that classroom has been yielded to me. And that was English class in high school. I remember to this day. I can even tell you what my speech was that day. My speech was on how baseball bats are made. And I went through it and explained how the trees are cut, what kind of wood, the way. And I remember to this day. Is that clear to me? It just, however that happened, it happened. And so, I went from being nervous to, I'm the boss. Now, that doesn't mean I never got a little, you know, butterfly here and there when I got ready. But it changed. Everything changed. And that, I didn't even pray about it. It just happened. I don't know how to explain that. But what I'm getting at is this. If I were still the way I am now, the way I was back then, it would be hard for me to do this, except for the fact that I now understand about the Word and praying in the Spirit. So sooner or later, that change would have happened anyhow. Because if God's call was for me to be up here, I could have been, you know, nervous Joe till I was 35 years old. But if I kept praying and I kept staying in the Word, if I kept confessing the Word, so eventually the nervous roots would have been removed out of me. You see what I'm saying? Because God's destiny for me was to stand and deliver the Word of God. So the change would have happened sooner or later. And the reason I'm saying that is whatever perceived shortcoming you have, it's really only perceived by you, enforced by those who think little of you, enforced by Satan who hates you, but not endorsed by God. Because there is no shortcoming in your life that He cannot overcome, that He cannot help you get past. Doesn't matter what it is. I'm too old. He'll extend your life. He'll give you another 40 years, 15 more grandkids, great-grandkids. I mean, He'll give you whatever it takes. He can do it so that you'll be able to fulfill what's necessary. Now, you're going to receive a handout. And this handout is a questionnaire. And it's kind of a three-part questionnaire. This is not a test. Did Adam have a belly button? This is not a test. How many animals did Moses have on the ark? Believe it or not, some people would answer that. And before you get into this, before you start reading too far, wait till everybody has these. Now, those of you that are listening to this, you know, you don't have one, obviously, but you really don't need one because I'm going to be walking everyone through it. And I'm watching as some of the kids get this. Mommy, what's this word? What's this mean, Mommy? Praise the Lord. But now let me read these verses. And as these are being passed out, just listen. In Romans chapter 12, verses 5 through 6, it says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." We have gifts, but the gifts are different according to the grace that is given unto us. And in 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 28, it says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, then secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues." So we are the body of Christ. And since we are the body of Christ, we're the members of the body of Christ. And the members of the body of Christ are identified, apostles, prophets, etc., and so forth. Ephesians 4, 7 through 8 and 11 through 12. "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So what we see here in these three passages is the fact that no matter who you are, you have a ministry calling. A ministry calling. Not an occupation. A ministry calling. You say, what's the difference? Well, in some cases, the occupation and the ministry are the same. Like with me, full-time ministry, same thing. But for some people, they'll have what you will call maybe secular occupation. You know, banker, baker, candlestick maker, whatever. But you also have a ministry calling. Just because you're working a secular job does not mean that you cannot fulfill to the utmost your ministry calling. It depends on what God's called you to do. So every one of us has a ministry calling. Now, with that in mind, and based on, you know, the things that have been taught and so on and so forth, name three things about your ministry you know now that you didn't know 1 year ago. So what I want you to do is take a few moments and answer this. And in just a moment or two, they're going to pause the recording so that you're not going to hear this gap. But you want to write down, or you want to answer this. Name three things about your ministry you know now that you didn't know 1 year ago. So go ahead and pause the recording while they're answering this.
Now, this is what I was talking about earlier about backing you into a corner. In other words, you're here, you're not going anywhere. So this is, you're being forced to think about these things that God's doing in your life. And you say, well, I don't know three things. I mean, I'm trying. And the moment that I saw that question, I immediately began praying, oh God, I got to have three things. What are they? But I just don't know. And well, there's no condemnation in this. Because if there aren't three things, I mean, one of the three things could be, I finally know what it is. And quite frankly, that might be all you need to answer. Maybe that's all you have been given by God, is just the identification of your ministry. But anyway, the next one, number two, and we're not going to pause the recording on this one, but other than God, who is the last person you spoke with about your ministry? Other than God, who is the last person you spoke with about your ministry? It might be me, husband, wife, friend, I don't know. But other than God, who is the last person you spoke with about your ministry? Go ahead and write that down. You say, well, why is this important? Well, because it brings to focus how much you're focusing on your ministry. In other words, when you know what you're called to do, typically you're going to have one or two people in your life that you will discuss your calling with. And it's not necessarily that you sit around and go over all the details. It's just that typically there will be someone there, your trust person. I don't know what who that would be for you. But most people sooner or later are going to talk about their ministry calling with somebody when they know what it is. I don't know how the conversation will go. It's just, other than God, who's the last person you spoke with about your ministry? Okay, now, number three. What is your biggest concern regarding operating in and fulfilling your ministry? What is your biggest concern? Now, we're not going to pause the recording on this one either. And this isn't for a big list. Well, this thing, that thing, the other thing, so on and so forth. Just whatever you think about the most when it comes to my ministry. Is it a physical issue? Is it a monetary issue? Is it a marital issue? Regardless of married or single. I mean, is it a marital issue? Is it a child issue? Is it a whatever? What do you see as the what is your biggest concern regarding operating in and fulfilling your ministry? So go ahead and write that down. And that really shouldn't take a tremendous amount of time to write down. You say, well, if I write something down, does that mean that there's something wrong? Oh, no, not at all. I mean, I have concerns about ministry. In other words, I could say that, well, in order to accomplish this and this that God wants done, this thing over here has to be dealt with. So that's the biggest concern. It's not, we're not talking about a worry. It's what do you see as the biggest concern in your life relative to you being able to operate in and fulfill your ministry? Okay, now the next one. Number four, what three verses or promises in God's word do you know that speak about your concern? What three verses or promises in God's word do you know that speak about your concern? So whatever they are, go ahead and write them down. And we are going to pause the recording here just for a moment to give you a minute or so to write this down. Now, as you're writing these verses down, don't worry about, word for word to take up that much time. Just you know what they are if you know what they are. Now, why is this important? Well, there can obviously be more than three, but what I'm getting at here is God's word. God's the one who's given you your ministry calling, and He's the one who's going to make it happen, working it through you. Now, if you have a concern about whether or not you can fulfill your ministry, okay, let me give you an example. Let's say your biggest concern is finances, okay? Well, in that case, there are, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, and so on and so forth, God is able to make all grace abound. In other words, you know, here are three promises, here are three verses, here are three things that God has said that specifically deal with this issue. Maybe not, you know, well, the problem is my child. Well, there are children promises in here, in God's Word. But God has said something about your concern. Whatever it is, there is something in God's Word about what you feel is the biggest concern. And having those verses as a spiritual tool, call it a weapon if you want, to deal with this is vitally important. Because the more that you speak and confess God's Word, God's promises against that concern, it's like that the wall of Jericho, when they marched around and then they shouted and the walls came down. It's like this is your shout when you're speaking and confessing God's Word. All right, now let's look at these next two verses. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Romans 16:17. But then Philippians 3:17 says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. So we see two contrasting concepts. One is, if they're not preaching what we preach, avoid them. If they are preaching what we preach, hang with them. Okay? All right, now, if you are, number five, if you are consistently or occasionally listening to other preachers besides your pastor, write three of their names. I mean, you might have a half dozen, but write three of their names. Write them down. And we're not going to pause right now. We're not going to pause the recording. This could be people on the radio. Could be people you order tapes and so forth from. Could be people, maybe you don't actually listen to them, but you're reading all of their books. So they're still speaking into your life. Could be people that you listen to from their website, whatever it would be. But if you are consistently or occasionally listening to three others besides your pastor, then identify them by name. Go ahead and write their names down. Now, you've done that. So number six, put a star by the name of each who adheres to the doctrines established by Paul and the other New Testament writers. Put an X beside the names of those who teach anything in opposition to the doctrines established by the New Testament writers. So go back and take a look at those names. Now, here's the problem with this question. If you're not into the Word enough, and you're not receiving teaching that lines up, then you don't know. And you're going to put a star by everybody's name. Because as far as you know, they all do. I was like that. I figured as long as they preach Jesus, and long as they preach the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, hey, they're all right. Well, I found out differently. They aren't. So put a star by the ones who, you know, follow the pattern of Paul. Put an X by the ones who don't. Number seven, if you put an X by any of the names, why are you listening to them?
Well, because it's convenient.
Really? Why are you listening to them? Why are you giving them an open door to your spirit? Why are you letting them sow into you? It's because you don't want to throw away their tapes because you feel like it'd be a waste of money? Well, guess what? No matter how much money you feel you wasted on buying stuff that you shouldn't be listening to, God can replace it. And many times over. So don't look at it as, listen, I know what that's like to have books. It's like, but this book's like brand new. It's like, yeah, but there's a lot of truth in here. I mean, there's stuff in here that isn't right. So what do you do with it? I've gotten rid of a lot of books. So why are you listening to them? Because they just happen to be on the radio? Change the station. Why are you listening to them? Well, because they're on the radio during my lunchtime. Listen to something else. Why are you listening to them? Well, because I'd rather watch and listen to them than all that old secular TV. Not me. Like I said before, man, I'll turn on a good Western. Before I'll sit and listen to these people, some of these folks, speak into my life, because I don't want to hear it. Listen, you have to handle this between you and God. But for me, I'm constantly amazed at how many people come to me that really know better and continually talk about this preacher and that preacher and listening to them over and over again and, you know, this network and what they did and this one. And I'm thinking, why are you wasting your time? You know, you could sit there and watch I Love Lucy and pray in tongues and get more out of it. Not from Lucy, but I mean from the praying in tongues. But at least Lucy's not going to lie to you and tell you it's the truth. Okay, now, Acts chapter 6, verse 4 says, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Number 8, what do you see as the biggest hindrance to spending time with the Lord? Meaning prayer, the word, and worship, private worship. What do you see as the biggest hindrance to spending time with the Lord? Your answer, obviously, is going to be specific for you. So what is it? What is the one thing that, as you sit here tonight, or you know, as you're listening to this, that you see as the biggest hindrance to being able to spend the time with the Lord that you want to? Because I know you want to. You know, you talk to people and you wish you could spend more time with God. Yeah, boy, you better believe it. Okay? Then what do you see as the biggest hindrance? Now, it's possible that there really isn't a hindrance in your life and that you are able to spend all the time with God that He has told you to spend with Him. Maybe He's requiring, you know, an hour a day from you or 2 hours a day. Maybe He wants 4 hours a day or I don't know. But maybe you're able to do this and you're doing it. So therefore, you have no answer for this one because there is no hindrance. That's all been dealt with. But for most Christians, there's a hindrance somewhere. Now, number 9, how do you think that hindrance can be removed? Kill him. That's not the answer. How do you think this hindrance can be removed? What's the answer to that? And that's the kind of a thing that only you're going to be able to answer as you see it, as you perceive it. But here's the thing. As you give this answer, you're looking at it probably through your eyes. Because the very next question is, number 10, what has God said to you about that hindrance? What do you perceive about the hindrance? Or what do you think, or how do you think that hindrance can be removed? And what has God said to you about that hindrance? Because one of the things that I have found is that a lot of Christians will say, well, I just don't have time to spend with God like I wish. Okay? But that's not the hindrance. The hindrance is, why don't you think you have time? What is it that's occupying your time? Well, it's my job, or it's the kids, it's the wife, it's the dog, it's whatever it would be. Now we're getting specific about what do you believe this hindrance is, and then how do you think that hindrance can be removed? Well, I think, okay, now what's God said to you about it? I don't know. Well, if that hindrance is there, and it's been there, and you want it out, but you haven't figured out how to change it, it means you just don't know how. Assuming, you know, you're sincere. Now, there is somebody who can help you with this one. And that's God. What has God said to you about the hindrance? And there are some other things we could have put down here, like whatever God said to you about the hindrance, what are you going to do about it? Now, here's why these kind of things are important. Because it makes you stop and think. And most of the time, we just don't sit and we just don't stop and think about these things this way. So we take these kinds of opportunities to sit down and just, this is like a timeout, you know? I mean, really. You don't have the TV, you don't have dirty dishes, you don't have dirty laundry. You don't have kids screaming and yelling, you know, let me in, close the door, somebody take this dog out of here, somebody. It's not like that. You know, you're here. This is a safe house. And so you have an opportunity to be a little more focused on some of these things. Now that you have some answers, not to everything, obviously, but you have some answers, and everything in here is related to your ministry. Even that aspect of what preachers are you listening to? Because quite frankly, the only preachers you need to listen to are the ones who are going to speak life into your life, who are not going to speak a tainted gospel into your life, who are not going to twist the word of God. And this may sound very hard, but you know, it really doesn't matter if they've been your favorite preacher for 25 years. When you come to the place of realizing that half of what they say is right on, but half of what they say is right off, you don't need that being sown into your life. I can remember one time, I forget how I got this, but I had a tape. It was about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And it also had to do some with praying in tongues. And so this is by somebody I'd never heard before. And I thought, well, I want to hear what this person says, because you just don't run across that many people preaching about, you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues. So I thought, I want to listen to this. And, you know, as this person was teaching, you know, there was good stuff, you know, and I'm thinking, well, it's not too bad. It's pretty good here. But then he said some things that weren't right. Even though he was in favor of being filled with the Holy Spirit and in favor of praying in tongues and talking about what praying in tongues can do for you and the benefits and so forth, but he started saying some things that just weren't right. And I thought, okay, I'm going to cut the guy, you know, some slack here, and I'll keep listening. Well, he said some more things that just weren't right. I thought, okay, a little more slack. I'll keep listening. Because, you know, hey, I've had to learn things over the years too. And I keep listening, and, you know, some more stuff that wasn't right. And I thought, that's it. I'm sorry. Nothing personal, buddy. Click. It took the tape out. I don't want to take the time to yield my ears to all of this. There's too much else out there that's right on that I could listen to and have it sown into my life. Even if I have to listen to a Gary Carpenter tape over, every time I listen to one, I hear something I missed the last time. A Dave Roberson tape, or one of those rare Tim Stemple tapes, or something. You understand what I'm saying here? I don't have to yield to that. I can submit myself to those who can edify me in the direction of truth. Who can edify me. And see, if you're edified in the direction of truth, you're being edified in the direction of your ministry. Because the fulfillment of your ministry is going to be based only on truth. I'm talking about fulfilling it according to God's standard, the way He wants it done. It's only going to be filled according to truth. So what you have here now that you've answered these, you've got some things to go home, to pray about, to read over, to think about, and just talk to God about. Get His input. See what He has to say about this. And somebody might say, yeah, but are there right and wrong answers? Well, that sounds harsh, you know, to put it that way, but I understand what you mean. One of the things that these answers may reveal to you is that you really aren't spending enough time with the Lord. Or maybe one of these things, some of the things that are being revealed to you, maybe you have identified something just tonight in here. Maybe you've identified something in your life that needs to be changed, something that you know now you've got to go to God and pray about. I mean, I don't know how this would apply to each person individually, but what we've done is we put another tool in your hands, something to help you move forward in your walk with God to become what God's called you to be. Because that's what I want to see for every single one of you. And I mean that. I want to see you become everything God's called you to be, to fulfill what God's called you to fulfill, even if it means the fulfilling it, you'll never leave the confines of this church. Or if it means you will leave the confines of this church and you're going to relocate somewhere, that's okay. It's just doing and fulfilling what God's called you to do. That is utmost. You know, Jesus made the statement about what's the most important thing. He said to love God with everything in you. And second, to love your neighbor as yourself. We see, loving God with everything in you is part of fulfilling what God's called you to do. Because you'll be more inclined to step out and take, I don't want to say take chances, but to the world, it might look like taking chances. To God, it's just being obedient. Hey, listen, Peter took a chance.
if you're the Son of God, you know, tell me to step out. Or what, however it was he put it. Jesus says, come. So Peter steps out of the boat in the middle of the storm, walked on water. Everybody else thought he was a nut. I guarantee you the rest of the guys in that boat thought he was nuts. And you're going, where? He steps out and walks on water. It just, I just wonder how many of the rest of them started to lift their leg and, well, if he can do it, bless God, so can I. Till Peter started sinking. But what I'm saying is, when you really love God with everything that's in you, change is not as hard because it's out of that love relationship he empowers you to make whatever change is necessary. So I want to encourage you tonight, learn whatever God wants to show you from this little handout. Let him help you make whatever changes he says need to be made. And keep walking forward in the fulfillment of your calling in the strength of your relationship with him.